just threw a change ball on me. Two quick announcements that were not mentioned, but we do need to mention. The first, as Ken had mentioned, the Seavers having their new baby girl. They do request no visitors at this time because of flu season, so they just want to make sure that does not happen. And also, since March is fifth Sunday, and as you know, we do things a little bit differently, that we have a meet, eat, meet, we have our worship, we have fellowship meal, and then we come back together at about 1:15. But we also will be having our Friends and Family Day on this March, or on this fifth Sunday in March. So keep that in mind. Certainly invite folks, your family, your friends. If you look on the table in the foyer, there is also some cards that you can use to hand out and invite people. So I certainly encourage you to do that. And one more thing I'll mention, next month is our gospel meeting. So keep that in mind also. We'll be announcing that pretty soon, but looking forward to that. It was the week of Jesus' crucifixion, and most of the religious elites hated him, hated for what he stood for, hated what he was doing and what he was taking away for them. Oftentimes they would try to publicly trick him, to bind him up, to ask him what they thought would be difficult questions, or no matter how he answered it, perhaps they thought or believed that it would be the wrong answer. No one could stand the wisdom of Jesus Christ, because he, in essence, had all the answers. And the religious elites, the Pharisees and the scribes, certainly didn't like this. But there was one individual that asked Jesus a sincere question that was read to us a few moments ago. What is the most important commandment? And the Greek word here used here is, what is the foremost commandment? What's the most important commandment? They wanted to see the response that Jesus had. And Jesus answered in relation to what they knew based upon the Old Testament, and Jesus answered with what was called the Shema. Well, during Old Testament times, every morning as Jews or Israelites would wake up, they would say the Shema, or it was a prayer more or less. And so this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where the writer writes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And so Jesus is going to add one more portion to this to emphasize the importance of the complete person in relation to what it means to the first commandment that's going to be given. So in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus answered, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So not only the heart, the spiritual heart, not only how we think about things, not only our soul or our spiritual aspect of who we are, but also all of our might and all of the strength that we're supposed to put into this. And he went on to explain that we should also love our neighbors as ourselves. And because we understand that God created man, Jesus knew that because Jesus was there in the beginning, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so because Jesus understood the essence of what man was and what he represented, he also knew that man needed to find balance in their lives as a Christian. Now, balance is extremely important to us, is it not? When I was 13, the summer I turned 13, I went from 5'7" to 6'2". I went from a size 10 shoe to a size 13 shoe in a matter of months. Now, mind you, I was a 13-year-old adolescent who walking around with no balance was like a newborn giraffe, because I grew so fast, my balance had not caught up to my body yet. And so it did not fail that I spent that summer bruised and tripping over everything. My bones hurt that I grew so fast that summer. And I learned the important aspect of what it means to grow into your big feet, because if you don't know how to use them, they will fool you constantly. And so now when people ask me, if you're tall, you understand that. People say, "Well, how tall are you?" And I say, "Well, I'm 5'19" or 6'7". Or, "Do you play basketball?" "No, I'm a horse jockey." So I like to use things like that, but people don't understand sometimes. They say, "I wish I was as tall as you," and I say, "No, you don't. No, you don't." Because sometimes balance can be an issue for us. Balance is important to us, physically speaking, period, but it's also important to us as God's children. And so Jesus is emphasizing this fact as he's being asked this question in relation to our balance as God's children. Christianity is required concerning balance, or balance is required concerning Christianity. We've got to have Christianity because it keeps us balanced. And so men often fail to find balance in these areas. Jesus knew that we had four dimensions to us in relation to our balance: heart, soul, mind, and strength. The realm of what makes us complete. And men often fail to find balance in these areas. They follow everything from riches to religion, from reasoning to rituals, and in their search they try to satisfy some basic need. Jesus said, I can bring all of those into the picture and into view for you. But you've got to have all of them completely to make up what the Christian should be. And so they will either fulfill one to find the other, as you look at Matthew 6 and verse 24. Man cannot serve two different creatures, so to speak. Man has to make a choice, but with that, Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is to love yourself also. And so not only in finding balance in who we are, we also are taught how to love other people. And so Jesus said, I'm going to make you complete. I'm going to make you who you need to be, but with that are the four different aspects or the dimensions of what I need you to be. And so we need balance, and without balance, we wobble, and we make a lot of noise, don't we? You've heard me use the illustration of a washing machine. If it gets out of balance, it makes a lot of racket. It bobbles and wobbles around until you, what, pay attention to it, or it's going to come through your floor. And so you jump up and you adjust the load to make sure that the balance of the washing machine is what it needs to be. And so what we see as far as Christianity helping us keep balance is the four dimensions that I want us to look at for just a few moments this morning. And the first thing that Jesus addresses is our hearts as God's children. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, or Matthew 6 and verse 21. The proverb writer said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I thought somebody stole that. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the aspect of our hearts and what Jesus is saying is who we are and how we portray ourselves as God's children. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the latter part of that chapter of what Paul is writing is the importance of what love is based upon where our heart comes from. Because without that, we're simply just making a lot of racket and we're making a lot of noise. And so if I don't want to do something, I might say, well, my heart is not in it. And so I don't feel like doing it. So our heart is important in relation to who we are as Christians because it speaks for us. Again, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man speaketh in his heart, so is he. So what the heart says is what's going to come out of my mouth because it's how I feel and what I believe. So if I follow my heart, my feelings and my emotions are going to be affected, which then affects the other four dimensions of who I need to be as God's children. I may feel excited, I may feel motivated, I might believe my goals are being met, or I might feel disappointed and discouraged and think I'm achieving my goals because it's where my heart is in relation to what I want and what I believe. Jesus talked about the aspect of love over and over, which is where our spiritual heart is. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Where our heart is, that's where we place our treasures or our priorities. Again, he said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. So my heart has to be in what I desire and what I want to find balance in relation to the rest of what Jesus desires of me. And so not only is my heart important, but also my soul. My soul and your soul is the unseen part of who I am. Now, we can't weigh that. We can't really measure it or put something to it, physically speaking, but we understand the importance of the soul. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you purify your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. So the truth in relation to our soul is important because our soul affects our spirituality and who we are as God's children. Paul commanded that through the inspiration that we are to walk in the Spirit. So again, making reference to the soul, and he goes on to explain that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are all products of such life, Galatians chapter 5. So my feelings and my emotions may be closely tied to my soul and my spirit as I respond to these qualities that exist in my life. So not only is my heart and how I speak and what comes out of my mouth affecting who I am as a child of God and telling people who I am, but my soul plays a huge part in relation to my salvation in Christ. So Jesus is bringing into line the four dimensions of what's going to balance me as a child of God. I don't need to be off balance in my walk as a Christian because I'm going to trip in the world.
And so Jesus is bringing these all into four, as into one, to say, this is what you need to be when you love God. If you leave any area out, you're not going to be a balanced Christian. And the world is going to catch you off guard. And so he goes on to say that my feelings and my emotions are tightly associated with not only my heart and my soul, but also with my mind. My mind is my intellect. My mind is how I think and how I know these things. The Bible says that you may know the truth, that we can understand the truth, right? We know that it's my capacity to think and to reason. In John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know or think and understand the truth, and the truth is what's going to set you free, to be free from debt, to be free from that sin that's keeping you out of keeping you from salvation. So if I pursue the truth through my understanding of the Scriptures, as I study, I know and I can rightly divide what it's telling me to do. That is, I can understand, is what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We can know the truth, God said. It's not something that has to be taught to us because we can't understand it ourselves, as some religions in the world teach. You can't know the Bible, they'll say. You can't understand the Bible, they'll say. That's because they want to keep you under their thumb. That's what the devil teaches. But Jesus said, use your mind intellectually. That's what I gave you a brain for. Think about what I'm telling you to do. Use it to your advantage to complete the four dimensions of what you need to be in life that make you a complete Christian and that make you completely whole. So I have to pursue the truth. What I know and understand is in my mind. And Jesus said that you can know these things that you might have understanding. And Paul said that our minds are to be like Christ, Philippians 2:5, to think, to act, to know what God is wanting us to do. And so these bring into view the four dimensions that he's talking about. But the last part that we mention in relation to the four dimensions is strength or might. And so finally, my strength is my physical body, my capacity to see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. But how does that then affect my Christianity? One day, my soul is going to be judged according to the things that I've done in this body, whether those things are good or whether those things are bad, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so this body, this vessel, this living earthly vessel that carries my soul, that brings about my heart, that brings forth my mind so I can think about what God is telling me to do, that pursues the strength that I need to have, with that I will obey God and do what He tells me to do because my heart says I love God and His Word. Why? Because I know His Word. I can understand His Word. His commands are not grievous. He tells us to seek daily concerning our salvation, that we're pursuing what God wants us to do. Why? Because I can understand it. It's not hard for us to understand. Brethren, man is what messed it up and made it hard to understand. Man's made it difficult. God says, quit messing it up. Just stick to what I'm telling you to do, and you can know what I'm telling you to do because it will set you free from your past. And sometimes we've got to understand that it takes strength to find that. So I've got to find dimension or balance in all three dimensions. I can follow my heart. And when I follow my heart and soul, I try to satisfy emotions and feelings and spirit in my spiritual self. And however, if I don't engage my mind to learn the truth, then my body's not going to obey the truth. That is, I'm not going to come through with what God wants me to do. All of these things are tied together for my salvation. My heart is where I begin to understand what God is telling me to do. Based upon how I learn and rightly divide His truth, my heart tells me that I love God. And so I can read and understand within His Word, within the confines of Scripture, that God is loving me because He showed me through an old wooden cross at Calvary. And with my mind, I can begin to reason based upon the emotion that says I need to do something about my salvation. Because if not, my soul is going to be lost for eternity. So with that, I summon the strength to obey God's commands and do what He tells me to do. And so if I don't do these things, and if I follow everything different than what God tells me to do, I become like Paul talks about in Ephesians 4:14, that I follow every wind that blows because I'm out of balance. Man seeks to find something based upon meaning in life. We often hear questions like, why am I here? Why was I created? What's my purpose in life? Simple question. Easy answer. Read the Bible. Your purpose and my purpose in life is to serve the loving and living God because of what He did for us through a cross at Calvary and why His Son died for all of us. Jesus said, let me bring all of that into view and make you balanced so you can walk faithfully with the Father. If I set my mind and body to know the truth and faithfully obey the commandments, but I don't have love, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, I don't have anything. Again, Paul is referencing the idea of what it means to be a balanced Christian. I might even turn to violence just like they did against Jesus because they were out of balance. They had an understanding of the old law. They had an understanding physically of the commandments they needed to follow, but they didn't love the Word. They wanted to set the precedence for how people should obey the Word. They wanted to make it about them. And brethren, when we think it's about us, we completely make a lot of noise and we're out of balance. We're not walking the way God wants us to walk. The person who sets his heart on God and knows what is right and knows what is wrong but indulges his body in sinful actions is guilty and shameful of being out of balance because of that. And so instead of turning to God, people escape and turn to the wrong things rather than finding balance. And so it's a process of which I have to bring all four of these dimensions into view. And I have to pay attention to these things. I have to feed my mind based upon God's Word. Study, it says, to show yourself approved unto God. Not being ashamed of what you're learning, but teaching and understanding and knowing what God's Word is correctly and accurately. Why? Because your soul, if it's not done correctly, is going to be lost. And so it's important for us in relation to that. Why do we have to listen to what Jesus says? Why don't we love God with all our hearts? We have to focus on Him. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not just on Sunday mornings do I give my devotion and my heart to Him while I sit in the pews. That is, I love Him Sunday through Saturday. I love Him every day of the week. So my heart's in it for the long haul, right? My heart is devoted to Him. My soul, in understanding this, why don't we love God with all our souls and embrace spiritual things? Because my heart's not in it. If I humdrum Sunday morning and come to church because I feel obligated, because I feel like I have to, rather than my heart saying I want to because of what Jesus did for me, then I'm out of balance. And I need to fix it. It's interesting as you see commercials on TV today, all of these different hormones and different things people can take to bring them back into balance. All of these over-the-counter medications that are supposed to make everything better. Sometimes, brethren, that's God's way of just telling us we're getting old. But you know what? As you get older, as I've learned, you pay more attention to your body, don't you? Yeah, we do. Especially when we hurt ourselves in our sleep. We pay attention to ourselves now. And so the older we get, the more we use our minds, right? Wisdom, as Proverbs talks about, the idea of gaining wisdom and seeking knowledge. Knowledge is the application and putting into practice the wisdom and understanding what that knowledge is supposed to do for you. Sometimes it takes us a while to understand that, but God wants us to learn from the infancy of our Christianity to have the balance that we need to walk the spiritual life. And understanding sometimes we're going to get out of balance. We're going to lose our way. Something's not going to be aligned to what God wants it to be. Why don't we love Him with all of our minds? Because we're not learning His truth. We're not seeking the answers in His Word for guidance in our lives. Why don't we love Him with all of our strength? Because we're not obeying His commandments. And so when we do that, if we do what God tells us to do, we find balance for our entire selves. And that's the importance of that. Remember what Jesus said? Love your neighbor as you love who? Yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How much do you love your neighbor? And that's not just in relation to who's living next door to you. That's who you associate with. Because if I love myself, I can then convey the love that God has for me based upon the balance that I'm walking and the life that I'm living. Once that happens, our relationship outside ourselves takes on more balance. And we learn how to walk every day. We learn as we're growing, and sometimes we have the spiritual growing pains in Christ because we make mistakes, that we can find balance in that, and we learn how to walk as we grow. When we become balanced inside and out, we need balance to walk the road of righteousness. But if we find ourselves wobbling, where do we find the balance? In God and in His Word. A balanced life is one of the blessings of being a Christian. And so with that, as the question is asked, as the scribes come to Him and having heard the reasoning and perceived that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment? What's the foremost? He said, Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said, Give yourself to God. And so we have to be ready to take the step. And so this morning, if you're out of balance, if you're not walking how you should be walking, what's missing in those four dimensions? Is your heart not where it needs to be? Is your mind not fully focused on Christ and God and learning His Word that's going to help you grow in Him? Is your spirit or your soul starving and thirsting for righteousness? Because if that's the case, we have to make sure that we fix it. And when we fix those things, we have the strength to move forward and obey God. So today, if you need to do those things, and if we can help you with that, we encourage you to find strength, to find the courage to obey His Word, to understand what it does for you and what it does for your soul eternally. And so today, if you're ready to obey the gospel, we have everything prepared for you. And guess what? The water's even warm. And so if you're ready to take that step towards your salvation, to put on Christ in baptism, first you have to understand and believe what God is telling you to do. That's the mind taking over and understanding that God's words are not difficult to understand. And with that, the heart comes into play. And the heart says, you know what? This is a pretty amazing thing that God did with Jesus. It's a pretty wonderful display of love, Romans 5, verse 8, that He commended His love towards us even when we were sinners. He showed us His love. And with that, I'm willing to put away my past, to have my soul cleansed in that watery grave of baptism, first confessing Jesus as my Lord and Savior who died for me at Calvary. And finally, as I step into that watery grave, all of my sins are washed away, no longer to be remembered. I no longer have that burden, and I don't even have to think about it. And today, if you're out of balance as a Christian, God says, let's fix it. Whatever's ailing you in those four dimensions, God has the answer for you. So if you need to be fixed, let the great physician do it, as together we stand and as we sing.